The Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we continue with our sermon series here on Romans as we work our way in, and we're in the middle of Romans chapter 8 now. It's really fun to follow through all of this and then get these cool themes that show up time and again. We've talked before about those things which would give us life and instead of death. And today, that life is pointing us to something else, to a specific family that we have. One that is, as we saw with Marty's children's message, a family of that is larger than we can imagine, different than the world could truly understand. And this family that we've been given gives us not just people around us, but our very identity and who we are. This idea then of being in this family and having this special thing to point out to cry out, Abba, Father, whenever something bad is happening, whenever something good is happening. That's something that can bring us comfort in the greatest of troubles and in the despair that would come to take us away. Sorry, I'm trying not to cough at you right now. I apologize. Thank you. That's better. Sorry. Hearing then that we have this Father we can turn to is pretty great. I have learned a lot of things since being a pastor. One of the fun things getting to learn is that, doing youth ministry is a lot of fun, and I truly enjoyed getting the opportunity to do that with our family and seeing so many fun opportunities to be in things like dunk tanks and different Bible studies. The other thing is I've found out there are different sections of the grocery store now that I'm not on a DCE salary. I got really accustomed to the different types of ramen noodles that existed. And I've even found out since then that there are different cuts of meat to enjoy also, not just whatever is the absolute cheapest that was Best Buy yesterday and is on sale for 70% off. I got to learn a little bit about this idea of choice meat and prime meat and all these different cuts. You probably know more than I am. If I say too much more, I'll say it wrongly because I'm not that well versed yet. But this idea of a choice cut of meat is like the nice, best cut of meat that we can get there. Am I right? I see a couple head bobs at least. That's good. Thanks. I said I'm new to this. Thanks. I even got a thumb up. Perfect. That choice cut of meat is really nice. And you would, if you know what you're looking for and have the ability to go out and purchase it, you could say, I would like to have this choice cut of meat here. Now that choice meat would be then chosen because of its goodness and its greatness. The great thing for us is we know that our God has chosen us, not because we are choice cuts of meat, but rather because he has chosen us just because he loves us. He is the one who loves you so much that he looked at you and he looked at me and he said, well, it may be in the bargain bin, but I want it. It's mine. It smells like stinking rotten flesh because it's dying in sin, but I want it. He's looked at each and every one of us and said, I choose you. I have chosen you and you are my own. This is what it means to be a Christian. When anyone asks, what is a Christian, or what is it you do as a Christian, how would you define what it means to be a Christian? Well, I'm someone who doesn't deserve God's love, but he chose to love me. He sent Jesus to take my sins away and to make me his child, to bring me into his family. Not because of anything special in me, but because he chose to do it. This idea, then, that God has chosen us, God has selected us, is what Paul is really leaning on in Romans chapter 8. He starts off with, in verse 12, So then, brothers, he's already giving the family language here. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We are people who should not be living in this old way towards our flesh. He's already brought this up before about that which is flesh and that which is spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the spirit that you put to death, but if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If we know that God is life, we remember the thing with the different grapes before, God is the one that gives us the true life that we need, not the one that would bring death. And if he has given us this spirit of life, then we are in him and we are indeed his children. He says, sons of God. This is when I walk into a room and said, hey, you guys, and there's like 2 guys and 100 women. You are all children of God. Once again, we have a beautiful picture here kind of showing that for us. We've got a father carrying these 2 children. You got the one on the right, looks a little bit older, maybe the firstborn son. And God's also, the father is also holding another child on his left there. The father holds his children together. I don't want to get too far into this because it's not Trinity Sunday and I don't need you calling me a heretic too many Sundays of the year. But this image is one similar to ours. God the Father holds us close to him as his child because of our brother, Jesus Christ, God who came down from heaven, took on the form of man, our very form, making it a part of himself that he could bring us to our new heavenly Father, bring us into the family. And so again, for this image purpose, there is our heavenly Father holding the Son, Jesus Christ, on his right hand. Look at that image. And on the left hand, he's holding you. You have a heavenly Father who wants to hold you close to him, who cares for you, who has given you his very spirit, even greater than an adoption into the family with a piece of paper by the letter of the law. This is a spiritual adoption, a full changing of your inner being. God has given you a full new life. And if you have that spirit of life, then don't serve the flesh. Don't follow the thing that would just take you away from life and bring you back to death. Don't put yourself back in the bargain bin with the stinking, rotting, dying individuals without Christ. Be with the one who has chosen you and made you his own. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You can cry out and talk to God. Jesus teaches us this in so many different ways. The easiest and clearest low-hanging fruit is to say when people came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, we're your disciples, so we don't want to only listen to John the Baptist over there, but, you know, John, he taught his disciples how to pray. Could you teach us how to pray too? That'd be really nice, please. And Jesus doesn't sit them down and say, okay, well, here are these, you know, here's this prayer plan. Maybe we'll learn the word acts, or we'll learn the word praise. I'm sure that you guys have all had different ways you've seen prayer taught. Again, youth ministry, children's ministry, I can think of a lot of different things with fingers too. I see another teacher counting. Yeah, good job. Good job. He doesn't give them a formula. He says, here's this prayer. And he prays, Our Father in heaven. Starts off just very clearly. Talk to God and say, Abba, Father. What an amazing thing. The God who created the whole world, the God who has every right to cast us into the outer darkness because of our sin, the God who is far greater than we can imagine, to whom we are nothing but a speck. That God has made you his child, that you can call him Father. You can talk to him as you would to a parent who loves you even greater than an earthly parent can. Why then would you turn back to slavery, to sin? Why then would you turn back to that which would only lead you to death? This is the great gift of being a Christian, the great gift of having God's Spirit in us. We continue in verse 16. If that Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, if we are then children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. That means we get to be just like Christ, the Son of God, the heir who receives all things. We are there with him that we would be counted as his children. It has this nice little tagline at the end. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What is a Christian? We get to be a child of God. He's chosen us. Also, we get to suffer. Yay. This is a funny thing. It sounds very counterintuitive. Remember, Jesus Christ, though, saved us and was perfectly obedient to God, even obedient to death on a cross, suffering that which the world would throw at him, that he would remain close to his Father, obedient to him, following him perfectly in our place. And we, as we follow alongside him, get to crucify our own flesh, put aside our own earthly desires that would take us away from God. We suffer by not doing everything that the world would say, oh, this is the best way for you to live your life. You should do this and act this way and enjoy this thing, and that's how you will enjoy this life. To suffer on account of God's word, though, well, that is, it brings us a pretty amazing thing. We do it in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are sanctified and made pure as we continue to listen to our Father, listen to his Spirit which is in us, and we continue to follow our Savior in obedience to God. Now that suffering, though, it looks different in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's simply not saying, well, I'm going to follow God's law. I'm going to do what I can to listen to my Father's rules. He's given me the rules of the house. I might as well try to follow them. Not to be saved, not to try to be more of a choice meat, but because he's chosen me and put me in his family, and I want to listen to him. That sometimes means choosing not to do the things that our sinful nature wants us to do. Other times, as a friend shared with me recently, that means having to talk to somebody else and tell them, you know what you're doing is not right, and you know what you're doing is not following God. And man, is that hard to be able to step up and tell them. I don't know about you. I can think of many, many times when I've had close friends or family who know the truth about God and know the truth about what it means to follow him, know what God desires for our lives, and they don't follow it. And then what do? It's hard. We pray for them. We ask that God would continue to work in their heart to send his Holy Spirit. But sometimes for those that we know and we love, it's the time for us to say, I love you, I'm here for you, but you know what's good and right, and this is not that. And having that hard time, even just considering that, I don't know if I'm saying this as you're picturing who you might say it to. Oh, it's suffering for me a little bit just to think like, oh, I really should say that, shouldn't I? This idea, though, that we would say we want to follow God, we want to trust in him and do what he says is right, and encourage those who know what is right to follow it also. It's not easy. God doesn't call us, though, to an easy life. He doesn't say, oh, good, you can follow me, and everything's going to be perfect and fine all the way to heaven. Thank you for the laugh. It's perfect. We do have a God, though, who says, while you're going through these things, while you're suffering these things, I'm with you. I'm here for you. You are my child. And we can cry out to him in our suffering and in our pain and our struggles, Abba, Father, help me. Again, I mentioned the Lord's Prayer for that. What a great way to do it. Whether you start your day or you go to bed each night and pray the Lord's Prayer, it's a wonderful tool. Some of you may know that Martin Luther, who's written a few things, you can go take a look at my office. I've got them spilling out of my bookshelf onto my desk. They have a life of their own. I keep putting them away, and they just keep making a mess on my desk. I don't know. I'm going to teach them what's what. But Martin Luther, he, in addition to many other good writings, he happened to write out several good prayers for us. He has a good morning prayer and an evening prayer. They happen to be in our hymnals, you know, because you carry your hymnal around with you all the time. But they're good things that we can have, and we can enjoy praying those too. This is what the morning prayer is. I happened to pull it out of the blue hymnal with us that you have in the pew backs. And for some of you, it might sound akin to what you grew up with, because you'll notice the blue hymnal still has it in some King James version. I thank thee, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray thee that thou wouldst keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please thee. For into thy hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Even if you're not a King James fan, that's pretty great. Praying and asking God to keep us from harm and danger, from sin and every evil, asking this so that our doings and life might please him. We know just because we're chosen children of God, we are not perfect, and we will continue to not follow him perfectly. But he's chosen us even when we were sinners, even when we were still dead to sin. We love him because he first loved us. And so if we know that to be true, we can pray each day, God, bless me. Help me to follow you that I may not fall into sin. And then listen to the evening prayer a little bit for you. I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong and graciously keep me this night. Built into this evening prayer, Martin Luther knows all of us, you know, because he knows himself. Just go ahead and pray for the things you've done wrong, because you were awake today, right? So pray for the things you did wrong. We just assume it to be true. Whether it's through the Lord's Prayer or these well-written out ones, or whether it's an ex corde prayer. Look, Linda, I listen when you teach me Latin. Ex corde meaning from the heart. In whatever way you pray and talk to God, know that you can talk to him as your Father who loves you. Know that when you come to him saying, I've sinned greatly, I've done something wrong, please forgive me. Knowing that when you talk to him in the morning and say, God, please help me today to not sin, and you're thinking about maybe that one that you know might come, know that he is a Father who loves you and will love you through all of it. Pray and talk to him. The peace of knowing that will continue to guard and keep your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Go in God's peace.